It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champy's Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the UGA Sports Live Podcast here at world-famous Champions Fried Chicken on Baxter Street. My name is Rodney DeBulsey. I'll be your host. My co-host here is Jake Roos. You can call him Rooster. You can call him Mountain Man. You can call him the guy that never shaves. You can call him the recruiting specialist at UGASports.com. And the man on the end needs no introduction. That is Jim Donnan, former head coach at the University of Georgia. The star of the show, the one that tells us everything we need to know. The man with jokes, the man with analysis, and the only reason you guys are tuning in. I want to say thanks real quick to 11 Alive Sports for letting us be on their page. And if you're on, we're on the big main page. Hello to everybody at 11 Alive Sports. My friends were out there covering the implosion of the Georgia Dome, and I got to watch them see the big MARTA bus pull up in front of them. So to Thomas and all those guys, sorry y'all stood out in the cold for 4 hours only to get blocked by a bus.
That was brutal, man. That was brutal.
But, hey, that's the 11 Alive Sports guys are fantastic. Jeff Hollinger and all those people, they're great friends of ours. They do great coverage. So we want to say thanks to them for letting us be on their page. And like their page, if you would. It doesn't take – that's all we ask is you just like their page. Before we get started on talking about Kentucky and the upcoming Georgia Tech game, I know it's Coach Donnan's favorite topic, Georgia Tech. We want to thank Athens Ford. I got to tell you a little bit about what they've got coming. I want to thank Founders Beer. The All Day IPA and the Backwoods Bastard we have here. Fantastic beer. Founders IPA, a big sponsor of the show. Good sponsor of the show. Probably my favorite sponsor of the show.
Easily my favorite.
The beer, got to love them. We have the holidays coming up, and I know everyone's going to be eating like right now, we've got this fantastic fried chicken livers here on the table, which that'll be going home with me. I guarantee that.
You a livers guy, Coach?
Not today.
Yeah, not that he didn't stand a chance today, but those are mine. So, but, you know, we got the holidays coming up, and I know people are going to eat a lot of turkey and stuff like that, but eventually you might get tired of the turkey sandwiches. Swing by at Champy's, pick up some fried chicken, or go by your pie. Go get a pizza. And their salads are great, and their panini sandwiches. If you haven't had a panini out at your pie, then you're really missing out. That's a fantastic sandwich. So a lot of people think, well, if your pie is only pizza. No, you can actually go out there and get a fantastic sandwich. Trust me, I get that Italian. I love it. I probably get that as much as I do the Southern Heat pizza. So swing out by your pie and pick that up. Also want to say shout out to Cable East.
Robert Wall
out there in Statham, who sponsors the show for no good reason. So thanks, Robert. Happy holidays to you, sir. And thanks to 365 Game Day, they often share our podcast on their page, and that's where you can buy a ton of the gear. You know, the foam fingers we have here from Athens Ford, the hats, the T-shirts. I mean, it's gift season time, so swing out the 365
load
Game
up.
Day and get to all the stuff for the Georgia fans in your life. So be sure to do that. Before we get started on the show, I have to tell you about a great deal that Athens Ford's running.
Okay.
They have on their Black Friday sale, okay, I got the early copy here. You're not going to get to see this beforehand, but if you go out there on Black Friday, and they started like from 9 to 1, then from 12 to 4, and then from 4 to 8. From 9 to 1, you can get $6,250 off a 2018 Ford Fusion or $8,000 off a 2017 Ford Fusion.
Wow.
$8,000 off. Now, say you want a 2017 Ford Explorer or 2018 Ford Escape, you can save $9,000 or $6,000 on each one. Now, get this. They're also, when you go out there and buy one of these trucks or buy one of their cars, they're going to give you a 43-inch HD TV, too.
Wait, with the car?
With the car. So you get a 43-inch HD TV, all the bells and whistles on that TV, plus you're saving either $8,000, $9,000, $6,000, $6,250. Now, me personally, I like this 2017 Ford F-150 XLT Super Crew because I got to take the entire staff down to Atlanta for the Georgia Tech game. We all drove down to Auburn for the Auburn game, but we need a big truck. We could save $15,000 on the 2017 Ford XLT. Or if we want to get that 2017 Ford 250 or 350, we can save $10,500 up to. So you got to get out to Athens Ford this week. Let them know that we sent you. That would be nice. And you can save tens of thousands of dollars on these vehicles starting at 9 a.m. all the way up to 8 p.m. And you get a free TV. And I can tell you a little bit, they've also got some service deals we'll mention later in the show. But
I'm going to have to ask for a raise.
Yeah, I'm just saying, well, actually, with these prices, you don't need one. And you ain't getting one. It ain't that time of year. But anyway, let's go from Athens Ford, because they always sponsor the introduction of our show. To Coach, let's talk about Georgia versus Kentucky and your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I was really impressed with the focus our team had starting from, you know, we did have a turnover early, but our defense got out there and made a good stop. And just overall, just a very good job of taking care of business. You know, Kentucky's got a solid team, a good power running game, and defensively, you know, I thought we might have to throw more than we did, but I was really impressed with the way we got after them up front. And, you know, overall, it's just anytime you can get that kind of convincing win against a team that's won 7 games, it helps your resume. And you just look at the way we've really basically run roughshod through the whole Eastern Division. No close games whatsoever. And just a real testimony to this senior class. That's the last thing we talked about last week about let's put these seniors out with a big victory. And I thought that was very heartwarming before the game and the way these kids played together. And overall, it's just what you need going into a big rivalry game, a very complete game.
Looking at it, Coach, do you think that it helps Georgia going into this big rivalry game that they had a quality SEC East opponent on a weekend where a lot of programs were opting to play smaller schools?
Yeah, I think schedule is what it is. I mean, sometimes you get those games, you know, people call them cupcakes, whatever it might be. But, you know, in the case of Alabama, you know, they got a chance to rest some of their guys, and it really probably helped them a little bit because they had some injuries, and going into this big game, they were able to maybe play some guys and get some depth that they didn't have. But from our standpoint, you know, coming off a disappointing loss any way you look at it, just to have a chance to come back and put it all together and regroup and look like the team we've been all year is very confident. You don't want to get false confidence steamrolling some lesser team. But going out there, Kentucky, any way you look at it, second best team maybe in the East because they did beat South Carolina head up. So, you know, I think that's questionable which one's the best of the two. But overall, just very good job of taking care of business.
I like the fact that you mentioned the seniors, and you had Nick Chubb, you know, rushes for, what, 151 yards?
Two scores.
Sony Michel gets a 3-score game. Aaron Sanders has an interception. Aaron Davis has an interception. Dominic Sanders comes out, you know, right off the bat, knocking passes down, knocking guys, laying them out. Lorenzo Carter, Devin Bellamy, you know, effective, not as didn't have as many pressures as you would like, but to your point, the seniors went out on a high note, and I just thought that the fan reaction when they were being introduced – I mean, even guys that – there's some walk-ons that are seniors that people don't even know about, and the fans were cheering them. And you had a lot of recruits sitting there watching this, and they're thinking, I don't know who that guy is, but, man, all these people are on their feet cheering, you know, for this you know, guy that's a fourth-year walk-on offensive lineman, you know. And I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, I think the thing that really typifies that, though, is part of the reason that those four guys came back was to be a part of a team that has a chance to get it back on the map, and that's what they did. And I think the fans reacted accordingly with the way they gave them that fitting tribute. And the thing about it is you can go to all these reunions and see these guys 20, 30, 40 years, 50 years from now, but – all these guys can come back and relate to the fact, hey, we were the ones that got it turned around in Georgia when they're getting ready to get on a big roll, hopefully, like we think they are. But it shows the kind of sacrifice that you got to give sometime to be on a team, whether it's giving up a pro career early or whether it's being a walk-on and running other teams' plays or whatever it might be. You know, guys like John Corson, Ron Corson's son, who's a deep snapper, has never got to snap any, but he's been on the team and practice and all. He's getting ready to go to med school. I mean, it's just it takes all kind of guys to be part of a team. And I tell you, watch our team practice, which I do occasionally. The scout team is so critical to give you a look of the other team's plays. And these guys don't get a lot of reward. Sometimes they get to dress out for a game. Sometimes they might get to cover a kickoff or all. But we'd have a hard time having good practices without these guys. So it's nice to give a tribute to those guys that hadn't had a chance to get as much. So, but overall, I always say this about any senior class. there is no greater reward than team victory.
Yeah, I mean, it was an impressive victory. They had over 500 yards of offense. I think that's the second time they've done that this year. Our man Dash pointed out they have Georgia's not done that, but only twice in the previous 2 years combined. So this year they've already had 500 yards of offense. You held a good team to 13 points.
Right, and here's any way you look at it, this team has improved markedly in every phase they needed to, from red zone defense, offense, kicking game, all the things that you need to look at in self-analyzing your team from 1 year to the next. We made those improvements. And, you know, comparative stats are one thing, but the biggest stat is just on the field, the way our team looks. I mean, our team is a very confident team, and it just looks like a team that has a very good sense of direction. And I think that focus has really helped us. Even though we lost, our team came back and things weren't much different than when we won. You know, they just,
I thought that was huge, Coach.
We had a big letdown as far as losing the game. But you know, the thing about it, though, I think that Sony and Nick, as much as anything, wanted to come back and play Tech.
You're stealing my thunder there, Coach. Right. I was gonna say, I liked how Georgia came back from this loss at Auburn, and a lot of people thought that, you know, Georgia was exposed, and, you know, now the real Georgia was out there, and they come back and, like I said, put up 500 yards of offense. The defense is lights out. They're getting after the quarterback. They're stopping Benny Snell. Had some issues, but again, you can't really complain about a defense that holds an opposition to 13 points. But I really think
touchdown.
If you talk about Nick Chubb and Sony Michelle and Davin Bellamy and Lorenzo Carter and Dominic Sanders and Aaron Davis, they have a losing record to Tech. They've lost two and won one, and
I think
before the Georgia Tech game last year, I thought those guys were all, you know, really looking at going pro. Then they lost, and I think that, to your point, I think they're like, wait a minute, we're not going out like that. We'll come back next year, have big senior years, help us self the NFL draft. But I really think they're coming for Tech.
Yeah, that's one thing. I said that on the get-go. But I do feel like, too, that Kirby did a really good job of explaining to them, hey, this is where you stand.
Yeah.
This is where you are right now. But this is where you can be if you come back and be a part of something and people see you improve. Lorenzo Carter improved on pass rush technique, taking on the block. Nick Chubb working on his ball skills, catching the ball out of backfield. Sony Michel running inside a little better. You know, Sanders breaking on the ball. Bellamy, big game against Notre Dame, helps him. So all these things work out. And as I've talked on this show before, you know, you talk to Hines Ward, and it's the best thing for him to come back and develop as receiver for Champ Bailey. There's not much you could tell him. You know, he needed to go out. So you got a really good administrator there that the kids can lean on, and Kirby, who's had a really good background in dealing with guys, whether they come out or not. You know, you go to college to play 4 years. It's very difficult to leave after your third year. You got to be a primo guy. You got to be in the top 45 in the country to do that, because anything out the way that the draft is now, as far as the scale of the money, you know, you're better off coming back and enhancing your chances. So, but, hey, that was a big win, and I hope we got a lot of good questions today, and hopefully we can get after the – well, Coach McGill used to tell me, we got to get after the enemy.
Well, folks, be sure to share this. If we get enough shares on this podcast and get this live chat, we will be giving away three of those prints.
How did we do last week? Did we give away – I mean, how many
– We gave away three last week.
How many did we end up with, 100 and some?
I'm not sure exactly.
I have to go back and look. Coach,
hey, if you shouldn't even be listening to this show if you don't share it.
Hey, it's free. What are we asking? We're asking to do one more thing.
I mean, I don't know how to do it, but how would you do it?
All you got to do is click the button.
Underneath it says share.
Hey, share. Sonny and share. Spell it the same way, right? C-H-E-R.
Yeah, you got it.
But a lot less crazy.
I got you, babe.
But do you have my back, Coach?
I tell you, I've left Tennessee now, and I don't have anybody's back. Can you believe some people are talking about him getting another job right off the bat? I mean, I hope he can for his sake, but it's just hard to believe based on the way – I mean, you talk about a team that's gone from – up here to down here as far as their ability to compete. It's just amazing. And, hey, they beat Tech the first game of the year.
I've been hanging around those volunteer message boards, and they are not a happy place to be.
No. Well, they got on me last week because Paul Feinbaum asked me to be on the show here when he always does when we play at home, and I go over there to the set, and I said, hey, the one guy I would hire is Bobby Petrino because at least you know he can win. There's no question about it. He's close to the Tennessee line. He knows all the recruits and all that. Well, of course, they jumped all over me, but, hey, that's the way it is.
But heaven forbid you give him a good idea.
But,
Coach,
I mean, I don't think they're going to listen to me, but there's a lot of coaching rumors out there, and we'll see what happens. But whether Jimbo Fisher goes to A&M, whether Charlie Strong stays at South Florida, whether Chip Kelly goes to Florida or UCLA, whether the mullet Gundy goes to Tennessee, I've heard a lot about him maybe thinking about that. There's a lot of things out there.
But they're all going to – I mean, it all comes – it's Gruden first. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's getting Gruden, and then you start putting in the Chip Kellys and the Scott Frost and all those guys.
Tell you what, Gruden has about as much chance of going to Tennessee as I do going over there and solving that Chinese case over there as far as the shoplifting.
Actually, I think you stood a better chance, Coach.
I think you do all right.
He was on CNN last night getting on Trump for not letting those guys ride back on his plane.
LeVar Ball? Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you this right now. If you came to Champions today and we had everything laid out here for free, okay, LeVar Ball could not give it away. He could not give it away. He'd find some way to screw it up. You know, Josh lay it all out there and say, hey, y'all can come in. He'd come in here and everybody came in here with the idea they were going to get to eat that stuff and eat these livers for free. He would screw it up.
Nah. Yeah, I'm not a big LeVar Ball fan. And, I mean, if you're going to take on the president, fine. You know, it's great for your brand. You get on TV, you get to advertise your big baller brand thing. But I just – the idea that, hey – Let's go on TV and talk about my son who just got picked up for shoplifting. If I have a 13-year-old son, if he does it, I'm going to be laying his ass out. And there's not going to be any me going on TV talking about, oh, my boy, this. I'm like, I don't want any way to talk about him. Hey, Ollie, you don't need to be seen and hey, anywhere.
We have gone down such a wormhole here.
Seriously, those NBA teams scout the other players. I mean, the guy shoots his jump shot from here. Why don't you get on his left side and you can block some of those shots? I've never seen a guy shoot like that. Have you?
Look at this. Look at that. I love it coming with the basketball breakdown, too.
Hey, when he goes to his right, he's got no chance to shoot the ball.
Yeah.
So, hey, over here.
Free advice here from.
But, I mean, that's my scouting report on him. But, I mean, he's a good player, but I've never seen a guy shoot like that.
Coach, we got a great question here that I want to ask you. Brian Murphy asks, and it's something that we've been hearing people ask Kirby a lot this week, how do you stop the triple option? What's the key to
stopping
it?
You don't stop it. Here's the reason. It's an offense that's set up to give you an edge from an execution standpoint. That's why Army, Navy, all these teams do it. They give you a chance against everybody because you don't have to knock people off the ball. You just got to get a tie and you can scrap on the backside. But what you can do is make a few mistakes. The quarterback has got an opportunity in this game to handle the ball about 70 or less times, and you got to hope that he makes a bad read, a bad pitch. You make him run around the loop a little bit for us. He's going to ride in the side right here. So if you make him go a little deeper out there, then you can get Roquan coming off the alley there. So you got to understand that if they do their job, they're going to at least get a tie. So what you got to do is get some lost yardage plays, get them second and eight, second and nine, get them third and ten sometime, get a penalty. Hopefully some of these SEC referees will call some penalties over there, which they always get whistleblowers over there. They don't call them because they're trying to be fair because they're playing at Bobby Dodd Stadium. So get some calls. And then offense, get up there and dominate and keep them off the field. You know, this is a team that's given up a touchdown or a field goal every time in the red zone this year but once. So we should be able to get after their defense. I mean, we should get after them. Hey, Duke got 40 points on them. They hadn't won in 5 weeks. So, hey, let's just go out there and play our game. And the last thing I would say, Kirby Smart, getting on that bus Friday. We're taking two buses, but we got to take one in our mind because offense, you got to give the defense some help tomorrow.
Yeah.
You got to keep them off the field a little bit, and we got to be patient and play good. And we got enough good players to stop them. So, hey, you're not going to shut them down, but you can make them make some mistakes.
How difficult do you think that the triple option is, especially in this day and age of football where almost nobody's playing it
anymore?
It's
difficult from a recognition standpoint. They don't run as much pure triple option as they used to. Triple option means you're going to read the three or four technique and then give it or keep it. They run a lot of double or predetermined
right.
things where they'll give it to the fullback no matter what, or the quarterback will keep it no matter what. So that's what we call a double option. But what they do have is a lot of perimeter plays where they run the quarterback counter back to the nub side away from the unbalanced line, which is a very difficult play because it's almost like the counter tray where you pull the guard and tackle, and now the quarterback, he starts out like this and reverses around. If we had a little bigger stage here, I'd give you a lot of stuff here, but you're going to turn around there, and now that end has got to read that down block, and he's got a guard coming out on you. So what we got, though, is we got a defensive staff here that knows how to read fronts, knows how to recognize blocks. If everybody just stays within their game plan and doesn't try to do something extra, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, I got the pitch, I got the pitch. I got the keep, I got the keep. I got the dive, I got the dive. You can't play both.
Hold your own row.
Hey, that's good.
Yeah.
Hey, that you could have taken that to Minnesota and changed that for row your boat. Hold your own row. I like
it. I think that Kirby Smart talked a lot about that in Monday's press conference, that, you know, for a lot of these kids, you know, he said, when I was coming up through high school, you saw the triple option. You played against it sometimes in high school.
Right.
He said, you know, nowadays in high school football, these kids almost never see it. So they've spent time each week preparing for this offense.
Every Monday.
And, you know, it obviously there was some motivation to do that after the way last year went.
Well, we had them last year, though. We stopped them good. And then, you know, all we had to do is make one first down there when we were up 13 and they weren't able to do it there when they went for it on fourth down. But here's the thing that is really impressive to me, though, about that, what Kirby's done. Your scout team, as much as everybody talks about not seeing that, well, you don't have many players on the scout team that can effectively look like that. So you got to teach that quarterback how to do stuff. You got to teach those backs how to flare block. The backs have three schemes there. They'll flare where they'll block the pitch. They'll come in and load the linebacker, and then they'll come in and load the end. So those backs have to learn those paths, and you read those paths. He's got a wide path. You know you got to come up the field. You got a short path. You got to close down hard. You got a tight path. You got to really come hard off the edge. So read those paths. But if you got scout teams that are not doing a really good job of that, you get an ineffective look. And then when you get in the game, guy comes out there and tries to roll block you, you can't play it as well. It's not the same. But I would say this, as much zone read as you see now, where teams in the spread take the ball, bring it in and read the end and then keep it or not, that helps you a little bit because that's similar. But the difference is the guy is executing it 5 yards deep as compared to right at the line of scrimmage. And when you're right up there and that quarterback can deal and pull it quick and get around there, things happen really fast. Plus, you got linemen chapping your butt because they're coming off low and going what we call a shoe shine block, blocking right there below around the ankles and trying to keep off them now. So if you just remember a baseball player when you're playing baseball, if you're leaning over to catch a ground ball, you don't bend, just stick your hand down. You get from the waist down and bend down. You got to do the same thing when you're getting off block. Stay low, be flexible, and don't let them knock you off your path. And we got good teachers out there. Our guys will get that. But it's still the first quarter is a big deal because you got to get used to the speed of it. You're just not used to seeing them execute with that. And their kid now, this Marshall, loves to run the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, a lot of the quarterbacks will – their deal is just hand it to the fullback and pitch it. But this guy will keep it, and he can hurt you with it.
He's a load, too. He's tough.
Something else that was addressed in the press conference, and I'm just interested to hear your thoughts on this. Pat Narduzzi of Pitt's basically came out after the game with Georgia Tech and said, hey, they're running this is a dangerous offense for opposing teams. They're doing some things that could potentially get some guys hurt. Kirby kind of downplayed it, said, you know, that's just the nature of football.
He's talking about the cut block, which, you know, if a guy's over here and you got – it's hard to – unless you just reach out and grab him. I mean, you got to try to, you know, effectively get him from the backside. And they've been doing that forever. And the only thing I would say, there's nothing you can do about it if it's a rule. Yeah. I mean, hey, it's a rule and they can use it.
It is legal.
There's nothing you can do about it. They're not doing anything illegal. But it is a situation where it's difficult to play a guy coming after your ankles all the time. And the other thing that they do, which Air Force started back in the mid-'80s, is so we're going to take this founder's beer here, and that's going to be the left guard, and this is going to be the right tackle. Normally, it used to be a three-foot split there between the guard and tackle, and everybody was pretty much – but Air Force figured if they took a bigger split between the beer and the Mr. Pibb, that you would have to effectively make this defensive lineman here line up in the gap to stop the fullback. But once he's in this gap here, then that makes it very difficult for to run the fullback. But it helps you to get the ball outside, and that's the idea there. So
luring him in.
So what you want to do is make them declare.
Yeah.
If they're going to put this guy in here, you're more than likely either going outside with a down block or you're going to read him right now. And if I'm the fullback and he's here, I'm pretty much knowing that guy's going to smack me. You know what I mean? So that wide Mr. Pip here helps you out a lot from a read perspective. Because here's the thing that I feel about reading. If you haven't anticipated – when you hadn't coached as long as I have a hard time remembering, but what you want to do is estimate the defensive intent. What can they do from how they line up, okay? So a guy lined up in here is going to have a hard time playing out here, okay? But if he were in here like this, this guy could come inside or outside. But once he's declared, then you know you can take it outside. So now that's their number one thing, is taking that big split. The other thing they do is take their backside guy and bring him over here, and they go to an unbalanced line. So if you don't move over, they got a got a little bit of deal. But if you do move over, they got a lot of stuff to the weak side. So they go the counters, and the advantage that Paul Johnson has is, and he doesn't have a play sheet or anything, he's seen it all.
Yes,
he knows what to get to, and he's going to make you stop what you're giving him. But a lot of times he's not good enough with his players to do that. You know, if he's got a good guy that's going to out-execute you, so it gets down to all that. But the whole deal is the system is set up to try to get the ball at the perimeter. Yep. But unless you're just stupid enough to let them give it to the fullback all day, and if you're patient enough.
We've seen that before too.
That can happen.
Yeah, we've seen 2 years ago they were just pounding up the middle.
Well, here's what happened on that. We started – coming inside here, so they, instead of making their mesh point, come here like you're the quarterback fullback, instead of making it right here, they brought it one hole wider to the outside of the tackle.
Yeah.
Now they're reading the end instead of the tackle. Well, the end closes, they're taking it outside. If the end stays there, their fullback was running just like that, north and south on us. So they got the inside dive, the outside dive, the reverse pivot option. They got all that stuff, but we got Roquan Smith.
Well, we got a question, Coach. You're talking about being the top 40, top 50 guys in the nation going to the NFL. And a lot of people are asking, what would you advise Roquan Smith to do, come back or go to the NFL?
I think what will happen is after the bowl game and hopefully the championship game, he'll go in there and talk to Kirby, and Kirby will lay it out. He'll say, hey, I've talked to these general managers. This is where you stand. And, I feel like you come back and you can maybe get a little bit higher, or he'll say, look, there's nothing else we can do as far as you can't get any higher than this. You got a chance of being the top 10 or 12. I mean, that's why Kirby is who he is. He tells it like it is. And this guy is a fabulous player. He might be a little small as far as the height, but he's got the power, the speed, and the tenacity, and he's got the leadership qualities that you got to have in the NFL. He can call a defense. I hope that for us he would come back, but the only thing I would hope as a Georgia fan or as a Georgia anything to do with Georgia, you want what's best for the kid, because he's laid it on the line for us for three years.
Kirby mentioned it also on Monday. You know, the question arose, how do you deal with that? What did you say to those guys? And he said, look, my thought is you always need to come back for a fourth year unless you're maybe a second-round guy. If you're first round, right. you need to go.
First
so,
round.
I mean, he kind of made it clear.
Well, he also said high second round. He didn't even say just second.
True.
But you just look at it.
He's basically talking, like you said, the top 40 to 50. Right. That's where he cuts it off.
And here's the thing about recruiting. You don't get where you are getting the players that Kirby Smart's gotten over the years by shooting the breeze to guys.
No, that's true.
Sure.
Because the best thing that we got going for us when a guy comes here to visit this campus is every one of our players is going to say, hey, what he tells you, that's what he's going to do. As compared, guy comes visit the campus and say, hey, this guy's Dr. Jekyll, Mr. He'll tell you anything to get you. And then once you get here, it's not like that.
Yeah.
So that's the best recruiters are the ones that have guys on their staff, on their players that believe in them, you know. And hey, look at these guys. I mean, look at the way he represents when they talk on TV and when they, I mean, class. I mean, these guys are good kids.
I don't want to step on Jake. Jake Roos is our recruiting guru at UGASports.com.
Please step.
But being that I poorly edit a lot of his stories, I can say this for a fact. When we talk to recruits, what I see repeated over and over again, whether it be Kirby Smart, Mel Tucker, going back to Tracy Rocker, you know, when he was here, you'll hear it from Shane Beamer, Del McGee. This is said about him all the time. These kids will tell you they're not blowing smoke. They're telling me how it is. They're not promising me I will start when I come in. I mean, even Zamir White said, look, they told me I can come in and compete.
Right.
Zamir White, who, you know, shout out to him. We broke the news yesterday, tore his ACL. I think he'll be fine. I'm not too really worried about it. The guy was – he didn't even know that it was torn until Sunday, I believe.
Somebody on the board earlier said ACLs are like cavities now.
Oh, come on. Hey, that guy always wanted to be a dentist, but he didn't have enough pull.
So, but your guys like Zamir, I mean, even guys that you think, you know, Justin Fields said it too. They're not promising these guys to come in with playing time like a lot of coaches would. They're not promising offensive linemen, you're going to be a starter in your freshman year. They're saying you can come in and fight for a position. I've recruited other good players. I'm going to recruit other good players behind you. This is the way it is. And a lot of people think, well, why would you do that? You know, you need to sugarcoat it. You need to try to get these kids in here. Well, they're hearing that from 10 other coaches,
hey,
right?
Listen,
you know. And I think that the honesty – It breaks through the clutter.
Yeah, you can, and the parents see right through that too.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to realize that every kid we talk to, more than likely, with the star power we got now, there's going to be four or five other people coming in there to do the same thing.
Yep.
So you're going to compare that to them and all, but you don't get where you are as a coach by telling BS stuff. Regardless of most guys I've ever met in coaching and recruiting are pretty good about laying it on the line. There's a few guys that I wouldn't like to be recruiting my son, but the bottom line is most guys are going to level because, hey, it's going to catch up with you pretty quickly if you don't. But again, the difference is now and 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, the access that you guys have is unparalleled to these kids, and they talk to you, and they, you know, Cade Mays was talking about his Clemson visit. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
You think he's going to say, hey, boy, I had a terrible visit. This was bad. I mean,
I've never had a kid give me a negative review of a visit for the most part.
We went over,
one in how many years?
We went over to Coach Sweeney's house, and the food was bad. And, we, you know, hey, but anyhow, the deal is I think our coaching staff does a really good job of presenting the program, but the best thing about it is the players themselves. They're the best recruiters. And the parents of the players that are here, you know, let's just say that you're the parent of a really good player and another one comes in and they're sitting there in the stands with them for the game. So, hey, this, you know, my son hadn't got to play a lot, but I guarantee you I really have been impressed with the way they treated him.
Yeah.
Hey, you can't beat that.
Sure.
I'll put it – take that one step further. We've seen a lot of times where a five-star, four-star kid comes in to the University of Georgia on an official visit, and it is not a starter who is his official host.
Yeah.
And you got to be confident in your programming. Say, hey, we're going to put a guy who hasn't broken into the starting rotation. He's going to host this kid downtown and around town, and they're going to spend time with him.
Well, they do a lot of research on those hosts, though.
I know.
Sometimes it is a non-starter.
There are certain guys who do not.
And there's certain guys that you want like I told you that time I had Hodges Mitchell take out Elvis Peacock down at Florida State, and it was terrible. I told him to take him out and have a good time and everything, gave him some money, and next morning I asked Elvis about it, and I said, how's the visit? He said, well, wasn't that great, Coach? That's what you mean. He said, well, we went over after we ate, you know, we went around but came back to my room and talked a little while, and then he left. So I got in my car and rode over to Hodges' place. He was laying around over there. I said, what are you doing? He said, Coach, I need some money, man. I need some money. I said, so I gave you that money to spend on this guy, and you did, but I needed some money, man. So, can you imagine bringing in a guy like Elvis Peacock, who ended up being a great player? Yeah. And just stuff like that sticks in your mind. You got to get a host that's going to do it. And Joe Theismann came to NC State, and I was his host. His name was Theismann at that time. And, you know, we were out and everything, and I said, we took him up back then. They had these go-go clubs, you know. I mean, that was a go-go. And I thought this other guy was taking him home, so I went back. And the next morning, I said, how'd it go with Joe? He said, he asked me. I said, I don't know. I left him with so-and-so, and then he said, well, I didn't take him home. So we went over, and he was laying in bed, and he said, hey, everything went all right. He said, I met this go-go girl. That was great. You
know, so you abandoned Joe Theismann.
Yeah, but, you know, we almost got him. He went to Notre Dame because they got him a job there in the summer at this brewery in South River, New Jersey, and he was working for the Miller plant there and made a lot of money.
They also came up with the great idea to change his name to rhyme with Theismann.
Yeah, it went from Theismann to Theismann.
Chuck Ward, speaking of all of these guys we're talking about coming
in.
That's two
recruiting stories for you.
Coming in and, you know, having those guys advocate on your behalf, a lot of that has to do with what we were talking about, opportunity to win this playing time. A guy who's taken advantage of that last week and looks to be on the same track this week, Ben Cleveland. Chuck wants to know, you know, what you thought of Ben's performance this past weekend.
Well, the first thing I want to do is give Ben a Perseverance Award for hanging in there, being a highly recruited guy, and things not looking good for him early. But you got to remember, he's 17 years old when he got here. He's a big guy. He's learned how to control his body, a lot like Isaiah Wilson is now. Mm-hmm. And he was who would have thought of the three guys, Nauta and Eason and Cleveland, that in that game the other day, Cleveland played more than any of the three of them. You know, a year and a half ago, we would be talking about it. But what I like about him is he realizes what he can do. He's gotten a lot better at coming off the ball. He's a massive guy now. He did a really good job of playing within what we're trying to get him to do. And it sent a message to everybody. Look, you know, we won 9 games, but we're not satisfied. We're going to play the best guy that practiced the best. And kudos to Ben. He did a good job.
I noticed they ran behind him on a 3rd and short. You know, and to me, if you want to say, hey, son, we believe in you, we're going to come right off your hip pocket between you and Andrew right. Thomas. And Andrew Thomas, I think, had been flagged on that same drive.
It was kind of combo block there, which is based on the look more than it was anything. It probably could have gone either way. But I agree with you. I'm not taking away from your point, but the fact that they would go behind him in that kind of situation. But the trend, the more and more you see it, I was talking to a couple coaches. Just big guys that can get leverage and get just a little movement. That's the thing. And you get behind a guy like that, you're on defense, you can't see him. I mean, they just jump around.
Yeah, you put Swift behind him. And it reminds me of Jaquez Rogers up at Oregon State when they knocked off Cal, and I think he ran for like 200.
They beat
200.
Southern Cal that night, and he ran behind. He looked like a little worm behind those guys. But,
they couldn't see him, and they remember after the game, they're
that's
like,
a good memory, right?
We couldn't find him. Well, you know, then he went on to play for the Falcons and did the same thing. I loved it. He's back there hiding. You're thinking somebody's going to kill that little man. And then he'd break off a 20-yard run, and he just killed it. I think it was a Thursday night, and it was beautiful. And I'm not saying that DeAndre Swift is a lot bigger than Jaquez is, but point being, when he comes out of there and he's on that delay, and he's waiting for that hole to open up, and we know that Ben Cleveland's one of the strongest kids on the team, and he's just pushing somebody down. And Andrew, of course, is chipping him. He's got a hand on him and a hand on the outside linebacker. once that hole opens up, Swift is through there like a lightning shot.
There's a great example, though. When you get to your program into such that you can redshirt a guy like Ben Cleveland last year, and this year redshirt Wilson and
Notori Johnson,
then that only adds to your depth, and then you hopefully sign Salyer and Hill and Mays and bring those guys in here. It just shows you that the concept is we're recruiting to a system and a philosophy of, you know, leverage.
Absolutely. Wow.
This place is filling up.
Hey, one thing you're going to tell us about, there were some good deals there.
I got to talk. Now, I went out there and I was looking at this Athens Ford, the F-150 Raptor, and I'm coveting this vehicle very, very much here. So they had it in black and it looked good for me. You guys are cornballs. But, hey, on just want to tell you, on Black Friday, go out to Athens Ford. They have a tire deal. And I need new tires for my GMC. So you buy three tires, get one free, and you can still get all the rebates, up to $140 in rebates on those the tire deal. Plus, if you like those level kits, you know. You can get a Rough Country level kit for $399. Now, that's on the Black Friday. Here's the thing. You don't have to have it done that day. Just go out. You can buy it. Get your reservation in and say, hey, I want it done on Thursday, Friday, Monday of next week.
Cool.
Go ahead and buy it. Get it in there. And they will also give you a free set of WeatherTech floor liners if you do the lift kit. So that level kit on a 2015 to 2018 F-150s, $400. That's a hell of a deal. And Josh, the owner of Champions here, went out and bought a Ford F-250 out there the other day. Said he absolutely loved it, loved the service out there. So Josh is already buying trucks out there. And like you said, if you share this, we'd appreciate it. But we'd also appreciate it if you go out to Athens Ford and get those – save that $6,000, $8,000, $9,000 deal on Friday, on Black Friday. Let them know that you
tell
heard about
Coach
it here.
Donnan sent you.
Yeah, that's it. Tell them Coach Donnan said you.
Yeah,
love that,
that would really help.
Hey, tell him he's.
But let me just say this: how many shares have we got so far?
We are up to. Let me refresh my page here. Double check. So we have our most
Sonny
accurate number.
Sonny and share.
I think we're right around 30 right now.
That's Jed Clampett.
That's we got not shared.
We got to get a lot of shares.
Yeah, we're right around 30 right now. So, make sure, like we said.
We got 15 minutes for them to share?
We got time.
You were talking about Georgia running the ball and doing their thing. Coach, do you realize that Patrick Garbin pointed this out this morning? Georgia's running the ball 69.2% of the time. And if you look at all the teams in college football, that run percentage is one of the fifth highest when it comes to run. The four teams ahead of them and the two teams after them are all flexbone teams.
Hey, well, that doesn't surprise you. I mean, that's the way they look at it. You know, Army, Navy, New Mexico, all those teams. That's a predication of, hey, as long as you get 3 or 4 yards on first down, you got a good chance. Yeah. Remember, if you just average it out, and this is the way Paul Johnson, 4 into 10 is 2.5. If they get 2.5, they're on, you know, because they're going to go for it on fourth down.
Oh, yeah.
So,
and I'm not making fun of that. I'm just saying that.
But the biggest deal with our team was we haven't had many lost yardage plays. We had a few penalties, but overall, I think we're going to get the same kind of crowd we had at Notre Dame over there. I mean, there's a lot of guys that bought Notre Dame tickets to go up there from Notre Dame people, and the same thing with Tech. I don't think a lot of Tech people think that there's that big a shot this week.
No, they need this win to be bowl eligible. They're 5-5 right now. But I know a lot of people are concerned about Georgia not throwing the ball, and they're worried about Fromm or they're worried about this. And I look at it this way. Kirby kind of pointed it out. He said, well, you've got number 1 and number 27. What are you going to do with them?
Right.
You have a 4,000-yard rusher, a guy who, before it's all said and done, will have – more than likely have the most rushing yards since anybody not named Herschel Walker. He's already in the top 5 in the SEC. Sony Michel is a 3,000-yard rusher. You got two guys together who rushed for over 7,000 yards. He's in the top 5 in the history of UGA. These guys are playing together. They came in. They've been roommates. And I kind of think that it's a forest for the trees thing. In a couple of years, we'll be looking back going, God, do you remember when you had Nick Chubb here? And the fact that – and to me, if you're – I know that Jim Chaney can run a spread. He can run an air raid offense. He can run anything. But when you have two guys like that behind a offensive line that's doing his job, and they were averaging – I mean, poor Nick – Sony Michel, he was the least productive running back on Saturday, even though he had 3 touchdowns. he was only averaging over 7 yards a carry. You know,
what a shame.
But here's the deal, though. When you base
it on that's the low point.
But you base it on your defense too. We gave up one touchdown the other day.
Yeah.
I mean,
one touchdown, two field goals, and that's pretty good.
You know, the Auburn game got away from us, but we were right there. First half, you hit either one of those passes. I mean, so you can't. They dominated and won the game, but we got enough firepower to play with anybody. The whole thing is we just got to put it all together. And I think Saturday you'll see some. Maybe a little more passing. But, you know, when I was at Oklahoma, we averaged 427 yards a game rushing.
Good Lord.
1 year, 427 yards a game. We had Keith Jackson at tight end. He caught 18 passes that year. But he was happy. Yeah. You know, why would we throw when we can run? I know one time my wife put a napkin at my breakfast that said, pass, damn it, pass. Because she was playing tennis with people asking her, why don't y'all ever throw the ball? Why don't you ever? Hey, why would you? I mean, we could throw it when we had to, but it's just a lot of fun. Just, you know, like switch. Hey, we're going to go hang half 100. But 427 yards a game, I mean, and that's what our capabilities are because we were playing a lot of the teams like Georgia's playing now, you know, just – run roughshod on them, you know.
We didn't touch on this earlier, but I've been wanting to ask you throughout this whole thing. A lot of people have really strong opinions on this triple option offense. Do you like it? Do you hate it?
Well, I like it from the standpoint I ran it, but I don't like to play against it in today's world because you don't see it enough, and it's hard. I think it's hard to recruit to it. You know, when kids are looking to go to the league, although they've had some receivers go to the league and some really good. Offensive lineman. Here's the real issue as far as a program, though. Your defense never gets to see a pass in practice like you need to see. They don't get to rush the passer like you're going to see because their linemen can't pass block like they're going to see. So it hurts your defense a lot, I think, you know, because you don't get to see it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Ted Roof. I think he's a great defensive coordinator, good coach. And the what he's been able to do with and I don't want to say – lesser talent, but there's not a lot of times where you see Georgia and Georgia Tech go head to head for a defensive guy. You know, this it you're yeah.
So what he's going to do Saturday is he's going to bring the weak side corner a lot. Watch the game, the weak side corner will blitz. Their defensive front's going to do a lot of stunning and moving around to try to confuse us because, you know, they've had a hard time with it. So they might get a few lost yardage plays on. But I look for a lot of big plays from us. I really do. And I got a tremendous amount of respect for Coach Roof and for sure Coach Johnson. I remember 1992 I was coaching at Marshall and we had Chris Selfo was our offensive line coach. And we had a deal with this hotel group that we could stay in their hotels on away games for a reduced rate. If they would give us some rooms when we go out recruiting. So Chris had this room over in Atlanta, and Coach Johnson was coaching at Hawaii, and Coach Smith, who's the head coach of the Falcons, was coaching up at Tennessee Tech. And so they were rooming with – they came in, got a free room with Chris, and so they called me up. I went up there, and we all started talking. He said, hey, Coach, tell us about how you get to be a head coach. Now, three of those guys ended up being – you know, Chris went to Tulane and – Johnson, and then that's just amazing. I remember 92, they were bumming the room off us at Marshall.
It's one of those things that people, like I said, I was curious on your take on it. A lot of people, even Georgia Tech fans I talk to, are like, man, it's tough to watch. You know, it's hard to watch. It's a grind.
As long as you win, it's not as bad, but it gives them an edge in their conference, you know, because they're very competitive. Hey, they've won it. And done some really good things. Hey, that win over Virginia Tech was pretty impressive to me. But you know,
as
the same way, and they played Miami down to the wire, and they played Clemson in a rainstorm, you know, just like Miami. But they're a scary team from what they can do if you let them keep the ball away from you. Here's the edge that they have, though, psychologically. If you're the other team's offense and you're on the sideline and you're sitting there and they're going on a 6 or 7 minute movement, keeping the ball away from it. When you get back out, you get a little edge. You say, hey, if we don't get it right now, they might keep it from us 5 or 6 more minutes, you know. Yeah. So you got to look at it like that too. So you got to be patient when you got the ball and understand that, hey, you're only going to get 7 or 8 more. If they play good, if they play good, you're only going to get 7 or 8 possessions.
Right. Sure. Now, in those possessions, and I know it sounds like a silly question, you, of course you want to come away with points, but are you throwing it downfield, trying to score quickly? You know, because you could score. You could have a big play and, you know, put your defense back out there. Or do you grind?
I never worry about it, big plays. I mean, if you score, I'm not gonna, I don't care.
Take them.
But I do feel like, as I mentioned, our job is to keep them off the field and make sure we don't miss our turn. From that standpoint, we don't need to have any 3 and outs. It's okay to punt, but let's get 3 or 4 first downs or something like that. But I just don't see them running up and down the field on us. They could, you know, they could hit it, but nobody has really done a lot of that. You know, Auburn made some big plays and some cutback runs. Tackling is going to be premium in this game. You got to tackle in the open field, and you got to get off blocks.
Yeah, well, also, I mean, not to rehash that Auburn game, but you also gave them two basic drives. You muff a punt, give them another shot, put it in there, and then you got them punting and you hit their punter, right. You know. So you made some mistakes there. I think
you learned
Georgia
from that. Yeah. Four kicking situation just killed us. But hey, that's over with. Let's get going.
But
here,
I just think when it comes to Tech, I think you said about midway through the year when we're previewing one of the other games. I don't see Georgia Tech driving 75 yards multiple times on this defense.
Unless they make some big plays. Yeah. Unless they – you got to keep your eyes on the quarterback. You know, ball on the line, you know, you're okay. The ball goes off the line, you got to play deep. And the other thing, you can watch the quarterback on the option. When his hands go down, he's running down. When his hands go down, he's getting ready to pitch it. He doesn't pitch it from here. He goes down and then pitches just like a quarterback winds up like this.
Really?
So watch his hands.
I didn't know that. I want to.
That's the first thing that you've ever not known on this show.
I didn't know what time we were doing the show, Coach. Come on. I noticed that Kirby pointed out something. I've always said this about when it comes to the old ball coach. You know, he'll watch your secondary, you know, all week on film, and then he sees when your safety or cornerback has a tell, and he's going to take advantage of it. When he sees your safety stand a certain way, he's like, okay, that guy's coming in, and he calls in a play, and then Spurrier would hit you for a big one. Coach, excuse me, choke him. But Coach Smart said earlier yesterday, he says that Paul Johnson watches your guys and sees where they're watching. Where's their eye discipline? And when he sees them peeking into the backfield or watching the wrong thing.
Yeah. And they got people.
Because like you said, he's not sitting there with his playlist.
Yeah, they got people upstairs too. I mean, they got most option teams are going to have somebody on the backsides to see if the reverse is there. They're going to have somebody at the point of attack to see how you're stopping that. They're going to have another guy that's at, and one thing we used to do, let's just say you're the split end. And you're not in the game. Your job is to watch that corner and see what kind of technique you can do to stalk block him. The halfback that's a lead blocker, he's watching that. And then after each series, you go over there and talk about, hey, you might need to give him a step fake and then roll him or all that. But you might as well use those guys on the sideline to do stuff besides standing there and holding up towels and stuff. So, but they got good communications there, you know, and they need to know, like right off the bat, their O-line coach is going to ask their guys, hey, what do we need to do to block these guys? And the same thing on kicks. I think some of the best kicking situations develop during the game because you scouted somebody and you think that you can't rush this guy because he's so good blocking. And then Jake comes over and says, hey, Coach, I can run through that A-gap right there. They're not even looking at me. I got a chance to block this. So you say, hey, well, instead of our game plan was to return it, we're gonna go after it because they're not taking care of this.
All right. We got a few minutes left. I think we need to talk about Rivalry Week. Maybe make some picks here. The Iron Bowl is this weekend, and it's got large implications for Georgia because it obviously determines who they will see in the Dome.
Yeah, I think from my standpoint, there's the big X factor in this game is Jalen Hurts. From a standpoint, he hasn't lost a conference game in 2 years. And the difference between Jalen and most quarterbacks, when you rush that guy, you play man coverage. It's like playing against Watson. If you play man coverage on him, like, and they play that tight coverage like they did against us, and you break the, you know, you can jump around back there, they're going to have to contain him. You know, and if they can do that, they got a good shot. I look for him to break some big ones on them. I look for their secondary, who has a little bit more experience than us, not to maybe give up as many passing plays against them. And I think the fact that they've got some linebackers that they've moved around, I'm going to go with Alabama in this game just because I give the edge to Hurts. I think he's just a difference maker.
I'm going to go with Auburn on this one, mostly because after seeing them in that Georgia game, I feel like they're a team that's gone through some adversity throughout the course of this year. But I feel like they're peaking at the right time.
No question, they got a good team, but they don't have Hurts.
Yeah,
right. I'm going to Alabama.
All right. Who would you rather? Who do you think Georgia stands the better chance against?
I'm not going to get out on that limb. I'm not going to mockingbird that one. We'll play whoever they bring in.
Way to duck,
but
coach.
You know, here's what's going to happen here this week, which I really would like to point out. We're going to have a situation here where there's going to be a lot of replays here of games. If Auburn would win, then they would be playing us again. We're going to see Memphis and Central Florida probably play again. We're going to see Oklahoma and TCU probably play again. If Washington State wins, they're going to probably play. They're going to play Southern Cal again. So a lot of redos here.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's going to affect the whole ball of wax or what happens there.
All right. Obviously, clean old-fashioned hate on the mind of all of our viewers as well. 11 points is the spread this week. Who do you like?
I like the Dogs. I like our offense against their defense. I like Roquan. Roquan, just get on the bus, please.
Yeah. Roddy?
I'm going to take the Dogs. I'm going to take them to cover. I think I did the same thing. I was only 3 points off on that Kentucky Georgia score.
Shout out to Paul Meharry for nailing
it. Yeah, good job, Paul. He deserves a raise. Yeah, he nailed it exactly.
And he did?
Yeah, but he was at a wedding, so he doesn't count.
Why is that? He had a little libation or something?
No, he let one of his friends actually plan a wedding for a Saturday in the fall.
Friends don't let friends.
Yeah, friends don't let friends do that.
That's really unbelievable.
So, Paul, you're fired. I'm sorry. But,
we hate you had to find out.
My point was I knew that after Georgia got their tails kicked at Auburn, they were going to take it out on somebody, and I really think that this team bounced back so well against Kentucky. They're like, look, that was a abnormality. That's not who we are. We can play better than that. They shot themselves in the foot repeatedly. They were better than what we saw at Auburn. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong, and they had – it spiraled out of control. I remember a Liberty Bowl kind of the same way. You know, there's certain times just you can't do anything right. And every team has those, you know. Yeah. I mean, you could lose to Syracuse if you're Clemson, you know, and your quarterback goes down.
Syracuse still celebrating that win.
Hell yeah. I'd celebrate it too.
Some people still up in that dome. They hadn't even figured they played six more games.
I think that carries over into this week. And after losing to them last year and watching them tear up the hedges, I think the Georgia's going to go in there. These seniors are not going to go out 1-3 to Georgia Tech.
I agree with that. I think that the games that they've really wanted to win, and not that they didn't want to win Auburn, of course, but, you know, coming into that Florida game, there was something to prove.
Yeah.
Coming into this game, I feel like Georgia feels like they have something to prove, especially to, you know, keep those goals that they still want. Yeah. You know, it would be they know that a lot of things go out the window if you drop this game.
And again, I don't want to get caught up in the stats or the numbers, but you're a 10-1 team facing a 5-5 team. You have better players. You've out-recruited them. You're going up against a great system, you know, and a coach who runs it better than anybody. But I just don't think that Georgia makes enough mistakes for them to win it.
Be confident.
Yep. Yep, I agree. I know Tech fans who are hoping that Georgia wins this, so it's the end of the Paul Johnson era. All right. Somebody said we need a weekly joke, Coach.
Well, I got two quick ones here. You know, they had this kid over there at Tech that needed to get eligible in a geography class, and he called him in and said, look, I know you're going to play against Georgia this week, and I'm just going to give you one question. He said, what's the capital of the state of Georgia? He says, I think it's Marietta. He said, that's good, 15 miles. You made 85. All right. So, Josh Pastner, that was too quick for you there, wasn't it? So, 15 miles from it, you know. So, yeah. Josh Pastner and Coach Johnson were talking about how hard it is to get into Tech. You know, they were really tough deal, you know. Academics really tough and all. And then they started talking a little longer. But he said, you know, I got one guy. I don't know how he got in there. This guy is dumber than a box of rocks. And he said, what are you talking about? He said, this guy, I don't know how he got in there. He said, well, I got a guy that's dumber than you. And he said, well, let's call them in here. So they call these two guys in. This first guy's a basketball player, about 6'7", you know, stumbles in there. Josh says, hey, here's $100. How about going down and get me a Cadillac? He said, okay, coach. So he leaves and just shakes his head. And Johnson calls this guy in, a big offensive tackle comes in there, you know, and he said, hey, he said, how about going down to my office and see if I'm there? He says, okay, I'll do it, coach. And these coaches say, hey, we can't pick out who's the dumbest. But as fate would have it, these two kids meet outside the office. And the first guy said, you know, I got the dumbest coach that's ever been. He said, why do you say that? So he gave me $100, told me to go buy him a Cadillac. He didn't even tell me what color. He said, you think that's bad? Coach Johnson told me to go down to his office and see if he's there. And there's a phone right there, and he could have called.
Go Tech.
And with that, we will wrap up the show. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. Thanks to Champions for having us here. Thanks to 11 Alive for hosting our show. Thanks to 365 Game Day for also hosting our show. Shout out to Athens Ford. Get
Black
out there.
Black Friday. Go down there. Get those deals.
Yeah, get out there Black Friday. Remember, you can get a TV, 43-inch HD TV, with every car you purchase. So, new or used.
And you if know, you so. Can't buy one for yourself, buy one for one of the Georgia players.
So buy one for your host, because your host needs a new one. Swing by, get the they have the buy three, get one free deal on tires, plus all the rebates, and you can get the $3.99 lift deal. Go in and get that on Black Friday as well. Shout out to Europie. Shout out to Founders Brewing. Look at you sucking down that beer like nobody.
I think you're beating it.
No, I'm just putting my hand over it. Mine's almost full. So shout out to Founders Brewing and Cable East and our friends over there at 11 Alive Sports.
Happy Thanksgiving. Come to UGASports.com.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.